أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. سيد المرسلين وخاتم النبيين ورحمة للعالمين، وصلى الله على آله الطاهرين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. أوصيكم عباد الله ونفسي بتقوى الله. Today is the wafat anniversary of our fourth Imam, Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salatu wa salam. After the day of Ashura, the commemorations in the Shia community these days focuses on the suffering of the women and the children of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And along with Imam Zainul Abidin, the women and the children also were taken as prisoners to Kufa and then from Kufa to Damascus. You know, when we look at the society, there are good people, there are bad people, evil people, almost everywhere. But even those who are evil and bad, within their own, you know, circles, they have certain principles. They are saying there are certain limits that we would not cross. And this is where we see in Karbala, all the limits had been crossed. They had problem with Imam Hussain alayhi salam because he refused to recognize Yazid as the legitimate Khalifa of the time. So we accept that he refused and you confronted him and you fought him and you killed him. You know, that should have been the end of the story. But no. You know, basically they went to the extent of violating the sacredness of the body of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, not just a simple mu'min. He is the grandson of the Prophet. He is known as one of the two Sayyidah Shabab Ahl Jannah. They took whatever he could from his body, and then they went ahead to trample the body with horses. But that was not the end of it. We know, and we have been hearing about it these days. They went to the tents. You know, they basically robbed the women of their chadar, even their maqna and the ornaments. These days we hear, the issue of minimizing the zulm in that way. You know, no, there are narrations. Even the maqani' had been taken away, irrespective of, you know, what was the Arab culture. Because there was no Arab, you know, honor and dignity maintained in the plains of Karbala there. And then they met the family of the Prophet, prisoners, and paraded them. The way the narrations have come, kama yusaru bisabaya al-kuffar. They were paraded in the streets of Kufa and all the way to Sham and in Damascus itself, you know, as the prisoners of war who are brought from the kuffar. And this is where we see that when Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, who is an eyewitness there, suffered with the women and the children, when he came back to Medina, he made a statement which is very powerful, which shows the level of the zulm that Banu Umayyah had gone to. He says, Wallahi law anna nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, والله لو أن النبي تقدم إليهم في قتالنا. That by Allah, if the Prophet had asked his people, his ummah, to kill us, كما تقدم إليهم في الوصايا بنا, you know, the way he had advised them to be kind to us, to love us, to follow us, if the Prophet had given an opposite order to do zulm on us, لَمَا زَادُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا بِنَا. They would not have been able to do anything more than what they did on us. This was the, you know, highest level that they could reach. And so when we look at the suffering, especially of the women and the issue of hijab, you know, this is where we have to realize that when we talk about it in our own societies, in our own communities, you know, this is an ongoing challenge for the Muslim community, especially for the women in the Western part of the world, to maintain their hijab. The problem which comes from some of the Islamophobic, you know, circles in the Western world, of course, this is nothing new. It's actually started in the Muslim world after the first war. The very first official banning of hijab in a Muslim country was done by Ataturk, the founder of the modern Turkey. For decades, you know, this was considered to be a sign of progress and that women should not come out. They were forcefully, it became a law that hijab is banned. Even the Shah, the father of this previous Shah of Iran, Reza Shah also tried the same thing, but really it didn't last that long. Turkey, alhamdulillah, now has moved back from their secular, you know, basis to more religious inclined, you know, philosophy, where even now the president's wife, when she moves around in the international gatherings also, she is with the hijab. But this musibat started by Ataturk had its implications. Although in the Muslim world, it's very rare now to see that the banning of the hijab would be there, but in Europe, especially if you look at France, the cradle of democracy and human rights, you know, they have this Islamophobic feelings more than others. And they've gone to the extent of saying that we are a secular society, and therefore any display of religious symbols will not be acceptable on a public level. And we see the implication of that in Quebec, in Canada itself. You know, Quebec also is moving in that direction, getting clues from their mother culture in France. But this is an ongoing, you know, struggle for the women during our own time. And we always have to go back to this, you know, courage of the women and the children of Karbala to continue this fight collectively as a Muslim community. You know, alhamdulillah, some positive signs we see. There was a lady in Quebec by the name of Rania Al-Allaoul. She appeared in the provincial court of Montreal in 2015, and the judge asked her to remove her hijab. She took this issue and appealed against that at the Quebec Superior Court, which in 2016, the Superior Court actually ruled in her favor, that the court had no right to ask her to remove her hijab. However, that judgment in her favor was only for that one case. It still left the door open for the judges in Quebec to, you know, bring about this issue again and to prevent hijabi ladies, when they won't go to court, that you cannot wear your hijab here. And therefore, she went to the Quebec Court of Appeal and basically, you know, seeking for a declaration about their religious right to wear hijab in courts. 2 days ago, alhamdulillah, the Quebec Court of Appeal issued this decision. And the decision was very clear. Let me read the main statement. Freedom of conscience and religion, which entails both the right to hold religious beliefs and the right to act upon those beliefs, does not disappear or change when the concerned individual is dealing with the courts. Freedom of religious expression does not stop at the door of a courtroom. And so this was, in a way, a victory in that sense. And, you know, I think we should commend the supportive role in this case played by the National Council of Canadian Muslims. This is the new, it has been now there, I think, 2-3 years now. which looks at the rights of the Muslims in Canada. And this is where we have to maintain our own personal struggle on this issue, encourage the issue of hijab, and support those who are, you know, following the rulings of hijab according to our laws. And whenever there are challenges, you know, collectively we have to come to help those who are being, you know, oppressed on this issue. And that will be actually living the legacy of Karbala for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand the message of Karbala and to live according to the demands of that message. In Ahsan al-Hadith, Kitab Allah al-Aziz, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wal asr, inna al-insana la fi khusr, illa al-lazina amanu wa amil al-salihat, wa tawasaw bil-haqqi wa tawasaw bil-sabr. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحليم الكريم غافر الذنب وقابل التوبة وهو الغفور الرحيم ونشهد أن لا إله إلا هو العتوف للعباد بجوده والعواد على المذنبين بحلمه ونشهد أن محمدا نبيه وحبيبه سيد المرسلين والشفيع المذنبين ورحمة للعالمين صلى الله عليه وآله الداعين إلى سبيل الله بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة قادة الأمم وأولياء النعمة ومعدن الرحمة أوصيكم عباد الله بالتوبة ما سلف من ذنوبكم إمام حسين عليه السلام on the day of Ashura you know made various statements when he addressed the Yazidi forces especially during the earlier part of that day. And some of his statements have become very well known on a universal level. There is a point where he was addressing during the early hours of that day, where he says something very powerful, where he says, "Ala anna da'i ibn da'i qad rakadha bayna ithnain." He says, verily this person, and he describes this person as somebody who himself and his father also is of suspected parentage. Means his father is not known and even his grandfather is not known. So there is no link. So basically they are both illegitimate, referring to Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad. And so Imam Hussain alayhi salam, you know, doesn't shy away from talking about what is haq there. Ala inna da'i ibn da'i qad rakadha bayna ithnain. He's basically put me between two things. In English, we would say between a rock and a hard place. And what are the two choices he's giving? Bayna sillati wa dhilla. Bayna sallati wa zilla. You know, between drawing the sword, either fight or, you know, accept disgrace by giving in. And this is where Hussein uttered those words, "Hayat minna dhilla," that indeed the grace, this disgrace is far away from us. Why does Hussein ibn Ali say, I've been given two choices, either fight and die, or give in to Yazid and accept disgrace and zilla? And this is where he says, "Ya'ba Allahu lana dhalik." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes for us to accept disgrace. Not only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa rasuluhu wal mu'mineen, and even his messenger and the believers, they don't want us to give in to disgrace. Not only that, wa hujuran tabat wa unufun hamiyya abiyya. He says, even the pure lips of my mothers, and the courageous, you know, or honorable souls of my fathers, they dislike for us. من أن تؤثر طاعة اللئام على مصارع الكرام. They dislike for us that we prefer the obedience to the evil person over the honorable death. And so this issue of, you know, not accepting zilla and disgrace, even at the cost of you know, being killed. This is something which Allah likes from them. This is what Rasul and Mu'mineen and, you know, the mothers and the fathers in that line of Hussein ibn Ali, they also dislike that Hussein on that day should choose zilla and disgrace. Salawat upon Akbar. If you're connected to that philosophy, you might die, you might be killed, but your honor and name will be there. It will shine always. Nobody, you know, remembers Yazid in a good way anyway. Nobody remembers Ibn Ziyad in a positive way. Hussein ibn Ali was killed, yes, but his name is there on a universal level. Even now, in spite of all the opposition against the Shias, you know, supported by the Wahhabi, you know, propaganda, you see the name of Hussein ibn Ali is coming up and up in all corners of this globe. There is not a country now where the name of Hussein ibn Ali is not known. And this is because that he chose, you know, Izzah against Zillah. He wanted to maintain this honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants him to maintain. Salawat upon the Akbar. And if you do not trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can do whatever you want, but you will always be disgraced. Look at the example of the Saudi royal family. The country has been blessed with wealth, so much. Yet they do not feel that they are capable of maintaining their own security. Remember when Saddam invaded Kuwait? Why didn't these Arab countries in the Gulf area, including Saudi Arabia, just fight themselves? At that time, they forgot this issue of Shafa'at and Tawassul, and they said, Ya America Adrikna. At that time, they remembered America. And they wanted them to do what they call their dirty job. You know, they didn't find that capability within themselves. And look at the disgrace. You know, it's a moment of dying with disgrace when the American president, just this week, in the gathering of his own supporters, what does he say? He says, we protect Saudi Arabia. Would you say they are rich? And I love the king, King Salman. But I said, King, we are protecting you. You might not be there for 2 weeks without us. You have to pay for your military. You can't get dhilla lower than this. This is a disgrace. You know, you are a big country with so much wealth, but you know, your master is telling you, if we don't come and support you, you will not be able to last even 2 weeks. Means even your own people don't really, you know, respect you. You are there because of us. And this is the level of disgrace that they can go down, because they are not connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to Rasul and the principles of the mu'mineen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always keep us in the company of those who are the followers of Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. Allahumma salli ala sayyid al-mursaleen wa shafi al-mudhnabin nabiyyana Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam wa ala imam al-muttaqeen wa amir al-mu'minin Ali ibn Abi Talib salawatullah alayhi وعلى سيدة نساء العالمين سيدتنا فاطمة بنت رسول الله صلوات الله عليها وعلى سيد الشباب أهل الجنة الحسن المجتبى والحسين الشهيد بكربلاء عليهم الصلاة والسلام اللهم صل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي عليهم الصلاة والسلام اللهم صل على مولانا الحجة بن الحسن صاحب العصر والزمان ما حيا صار اللي بدأ بالطغيان هادمي أبنية الشرك والنفاق حاسد فور البغي والشقاق صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آباء الكرام ما اتصلت الليالي والأيام اللهم عجل فرج وصح المخرج واكحل ناظرنا بنظرة منا إليه واجعلنا من المستشهدين بين يديه اللهم اجعلنا ممن يذكر فتنفعه الذكرى إن الله يعمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون.